Jesus is our model for prayer this morning. His disciples are watching. In previous chapters, Jesus hikes up the mountain to pray, or he goes to a body of water, or somewhere desolate. And here, we're told he is in an unspecified, certain place. Jesus sets a time and space to devote himself to prayer. When he's done, the disciples ask him to teach them to pray. He's already been teaching them by his example. And being the brilliant teacher that he is, he now tells them what to pray and how. He teaches them what we call the Lord's Prayer, or the disciples' prayer, or as some call it, the Our Father. The prayer begins with approaching God as our Heavenly Father. It's a kingdom-centered prayer, where we ask for the whole world and ourselves would glorify God by what we do and say. We pray that his kingdom would reach us into our daily lives, here and now. We ask that God forgive us our sins, that he provide for our bodily needs, that we see that connection between our love for God and our love for our neighbor. And we conclude by asking God to direct our paths away from that which would harm us or harm one another. Jesus models prayer by his example. He gives us a scripted prayer to pray, a prayer that will stretch us and edify us. And then he anticipates the obstacles that keep us from prayer. Those things that keep you and me from approaching our Heavenly Father. Sometimes we learn to take the healthy path when we see how unhealthy the other paths are. Sometimes we need to know what not to do in order to know what to do. Remember that the disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? So Jesus gives them a powerful prayer to pray. And then he gives us two examples of what prayer is not. He knows that a devoted life of prayer will be a struggle for each of us. I believe that if we do not get Jesus' sense of humor in this passage, we will not understand the power of his message. Imagine, Jesus says, that prayer is like waking up your friend in the middle of the night and pestering him to help you be hospitable toward unexpected guests. Even your annoyed friend, even him who you are pestering, will cave in and help you if you are persistent enough. Because your friend knows that in order to get rid of you and get back to bed, they must send you on your way with what you need. So Jesus says, ask, search, knock. Prayer is asking. Prayer is finding our way through the darkness of this world. Prayer is making noise and clamoring for God's attention, our Creator and our Heavenly Father. Imagine, Jesus says, that prayer is like your children speaking with you when they're hungry. And they ask for a simple, nutritious meal. Eggs and fish. Are you twisted and sadistic enough, Jesus says, to give them snakes and scorpions for breakfast? If a young child asks for a bowl of cereal, would you give them a bowl of crunchy insects? Even so, Jesus says, if we as parents who are sinful and are able to give our children good things despite our propensity toward evil, how much more will God answer our prayers? Him who is without sin and whose goodness overflows, how much more will he prevail toward us because of his perfect and holy love for us? Jesus says what we all need to hear. God is not irritated by you when you come knocking at his door in the middle of the night. He's our divine friend who neither sleeps nor slumbers. He does not want us to go away. He does not want you to stop pestering him in prayer. Our Heavenly Father does not toy with us, nor does he treat us like pawns in a sick game. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So Jesus gives us his examples to set aside time to go to our quiet places and devote ourselves to prayer in the full confidence that he hears you and me. He gives us a prayer to pray and a model of a God-glorifying prayer and a human-edifying prayer. And then he gives us two ridiculous examples of what prayer is not like: a crabby friend and a terrible parent. Our motive to pray now is the joy and confidence that we have that God wants to hear us. He wants us to come to him. He's not bothered, but he delights to hear our prayers. He wants us to approach him as we would a loving and devoted child would approach a loving and devoted parent. We do not pray to get his attention or to earn his favor. We pray to him because we already have his attention and his favor and grace. Every one of us should presume that when we pray, God smiles, his arms are spread wide open, and he delights and welcomes what we pray. He wants to give us the best things, his Holy Spirit. He's already given us his life on the cross, and in his rising from the dead. He has made his move toward us. He's now ready for us to make a move toward him. He's taught us to pray, and now he loves to welcome us as his beloved children into that sweet, prayerful devotion and communion with him. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find solace there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.